Will you pray with me? Holy mystery, beyond our imagining and as close as the beating of our own heart, draw alongside us, I pray. Illuminate the words that I speak and the meditations of all of our hearts, that we might catch a glimpse of you today. Last week was our hanging of the greens service. It is a much beloved tradition here at the Union Church, one that I had actually never experienced before coming here. On the first Sunday of Advent, as we turn our eyes towards the manger with anticipation of Jesus' birth and the new renewal of our relationship with the one who comes in the name of love, we prepared this house. We hung the wreaths. We placed the holly on the altar. We filled the chancel with poinsettias. We decorated and lit the Christmas tree. Over the course of the service last Sunday, we transformed this house. We made it ready. We did this as we stepped into this season of Advent, this season of preparation, of making ready. It's good. It is good to be prepared. It is good to make ready, not just during Advent, but being prepared is a good life skill at any time during the year. The necessity of being prepared is something that we teach and teach and teach our children. It is something that most of us, I would say, practice day in and day out. Being prepared means that we check our calendars first thing in the morning. We review what is coming. We want to know what is going to be asked of us. We make ready so that we can handle whatever it is that's coming. Being prepared means that we have on hand that which we are going to need, and that we will practice what the situation requires, that we will know what to do, what to say, how to be. Being prepared makes all the difference between falling on one's face or soaring. I have been a churchgoer my entire life, but it was not until I became a pastor that I realized how much preparation goes into 60 minutes on a Sunday morning. My father-in-law was a Presbyterian pastor, and he used to say, for each of the 20 minutes, don't worry, I won't be preaching 20 minutes, but for each of the 20 minutes of the sermons that he used to preach, he would spend 1 hour per minute in preparation. That's a lot of time preparing a sermon. And then there's all the preparation that goes into choosing the music and rehearsing it, and the preparation of placing the hymn numbers up here, and the preparation of getting the bulletins ready and out, and the lighting the candles. It goes on and on and on. There's a lot of preparation that goes into worship on Sunday morning, but the payback is that when one has been preparing so hard for something, what happens is that when it comes, it appears to be effortless. That is what good preparation does, right? Preparation is key to competence. So we plan. And we plan so well that things pretty much go according to plan. Not always, but for the most part. And it's amazing that they do so. Seeing clearly what is on the horizon and having a plan for handling it is exactly what the prophets were all about. Perhaps that's why I love the prophets so much. You never hear any wobbly language from them. There are no maybes or could-bes or I wonder ifs from the prophets. No, theirs is a vision of clarity, a call for preparedness. Our passage from Isaiah this morning is a good example of that. It is chocked full of shalls and will-bes, clear, declarative speech. Listen again. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. They shall see the glory of God. Be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Ah, so beautiful, isn't it? In a world that can feel so full of uncertainties, having such a clear vision, oh, it's comforting, it's empowering. It gives us hope. We need the prophets who have that clarity of sight and the power of proclamation to see and give voice to that which we may not be able to see, to tell us what we need to do, where God is and what God is doing, and most of all, that everything is going to be all right. But as much as I love the prophets and as much as I love being prepared, and you know I love being prepared, as much as I treasure Advent, I had a stark realization this week. I realized that I think I might have gotten it all wrong. I think that our emphasis that Advent is a time of preparation may actually be missing Advent's mark. Preparation, I am coming to see, may actually have very little to do with what Advent is all about. And in fact, I'm coming to see that the power and the good news of Advent may lie in exactly the opposite of what it is to be prepared. For you see, everything that happens leading up to Jesus' birth and even after it, everything about the Christmas story happens to people who were completely unprepared for it. The Christmas story is not one of preparation, it is one of disruption. It is a story of things not going according to plan, of people facing situations they never could have imagined. The Christmas story is not about having everything in control. The Christmas story is about what happens when things fall apart and we are out of control. Mary, you see, she had a plan. She was engaged. She had a plan for how she was going to find some security in a really uncertain world. Joseph was a good man. It would be hard, but it would be a life that wouldn't be without love. Mary had a plan until the angel Gabriel stepped through the veil and spoke her name. Until that message of God spoke of a child, and then everything turned for Mary. Mary went from a clear vision and certainty of what her life was going to be all about, and then it was swept away. And then there's Joseph. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt? Here was his beloved suddenly pregnant with another's child. There could be no wedding now. The future he had envisioned that he had been planning for, it evaporated. He must have felt anger and shame and pain. It wasn't his plan. And the shepherds that night were certainly not prepared for the heavenly host interrupting their quiet evening and sending them off to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. And clearly the innkeeper was not expecting something miraculous that night, or I'm sure he would have reserved a room. We can prepare. We can make ready all we want. But the time will come, I am sorry to say, when we will be turned from what we thought was coming, when our plans will fall away, and when we will have to face something we never planned for, something we did not see coming, something we never imagined, something that changes our life forever. So if Advent is not about getting ourselves prepared, what is it about then? If the Christmas story happened to people who were totally unprepared for it, what is the message in the story for us? When the angel speaks to Mary about the child that she will bear, Mary questions, "Well, how can this be? For I have been with no man." To which the angel replies, "Nothing will be impossible with God." That is when Mary gives her consent. Nothing will be impossible with God. This is the declaration that will be Jesus' lived reality. He will experience it over and over again in his life and in his death. Nothing will be impossible with God. He will actually say those same words to a followers of his, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Nothing will be impossible with God. I have heard those words from the angel every Christmas season for as long as I can remember, but for some reason I had always heard the angel declaring, "Nothing is impossible for God." And that made a lot of sense to me. Maybe that's why I heard it, because God is all powerful, right? Nothing is impossible for God. God can do anything. But that's not the message. The whole point of Christmas, the whole point of the incarnation of God entering our world and our lives is not to do it for us, but to do it with us. God with us. That is what Emmanuel means. God comes into the world in the most unexpected ways to people completely unprepared to receive God in order that we may have the lived experience of realizing that when we are with God, nothing is impossible. This does not mean that there are going to be rainbows and unicorns. We know that's not the case. It is to say, though, that when the hard, unexpected things happen to us, God will be with us. And when God is with us, even what seems impossible will be possible. We can walk through the sudden death of a loved one. We can find beauty even in the midst of a terrible diagnosis. Nothing is impossible with God. And the thing that brings tears to my eyes every time I read it is that with God also means the ways that we are to be with each other. For as we heard in our passage this morning, it is when Mary, whose life has been turned upside down, it is only when she goes to Elizabeth, her cousin, and receives Elizabeth's affirmation that love that Mary then can step into her new reality. It is only then, after the affirmation of Elizabeth, as Bart says, that Mary finds the song and the strength to sing. God with us. Being with each other, with hearts that are open to God, it means listening to and honoring what we hear from one another. It means affirming and loving each other, even in the midst, especially in the midst of what we may be totally unprepared for. God with us. Emmanuel means the Christ child who needed Mary and Joseph long before they realized how much they needed him. And it means each of us realizing how much we too are needed and how much we too need each other to be with us in all that we face. So if this is the season of the totally unprepared, I am now hereby canceling all choir rehearsals. Tell the kids to stop practicing the pageant downstairs. I'm scrapping all sermon preparations, tearing up all the bulletins, deleting all our plans. No, I'm just kidding, Dayan. Rest assured, we are going to prepare. We are going to do our best. We are going to scan the horizon line with the prophets, and we are going to cast visions. But the good news that the story is asking of us to step into once again this year is that we need not fear. When the unexpected, of which we are totally unprepared, happens, God will be with us, we will be with each other, and we will make it through. So let our walk to the manger continue. And as we do, may we come to know that we actually have all that we need to face whatever it is that is coming. Thanks be to the one who even now is waiting for us. Amen.